I'm going to ask you something that has absolutely nothing to do with the message. What do they call a hen that won't fight? A chicken. There ain't no chickens in here. And that's one of the main reasons why you want to go to camp meeting or to Winter Bible Seminar, because you're eagles. You don't hang out with chickens. You don't want to become what, Pastor Moore said, you know, these Christians, they're just weak and complaining, you know what I mean? Sissy Christians. I heard that. I'm like, I am nobody's sissy Christian. I wasn't a sissy sinner, and I ain't going to be a sissy Christian. Do we have any first-time visitors? Hi. I'm Pastor Greg. I hope I didn't scare you. This is the way I am. You know, I haven't learned how to put on airs. We just want you to know that we count it an honor. We really do, and we're humbled that God is trusting us with you this morning. And we believe if you open up and take in everything that he has to offer, you won't leave here the same as you came. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got a few minutes after service, I like to just chat with you and welcome you personally. All right? Online, you're not here. I can't stay with you after service, but you can write us. There'll be contact information at the end of service. You can contact me, and I promise I will get back to you. I personally will get back to you. Amen. This is last time I was with you. We talked about what are you thinking. This is just part two. It's part two. Because I'm finding more and more through reading the Word and talking with teachers of the Word that how we think is probably more important than what you say. Sacrilege. Let me tell you why I said that. What you say is based on what you think. And what happens is a thought comes into your head, and the more you let it stay there, it starts digging down till it gets to your heart. And when it gets to your heart, it plants a seed in your heart. And if you don't do anything about it, that seed will take root and grow and fill your heart. I love it when I get the toots of agreement. And once it fills your heart, guess what it becomes? The abundance of your heart. And what does the scripture say about that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we can control what we're thinking, we'll do a better job controlling what comes out of our mouth, because it won't be there. You know what the best way it is for me to control how much ice cream I eat? Don't bring it in the house. Because I can lie to myself. I say, hey, it's on sale. Buy 2 gallons, get one free. That ought to last me about... I said ought to, not how long. But if I don't bring it in the house, it's not going in me. If we don't allow the thought to stay there, it never gets to your heart, and it never comes out of your mouth, so it never has any life. It gets its life from seeding itself in our heart, becoming the abundance of our heart, and letting it come out of our mouth. So in 2019, I taught a lesson, a series called I Think, Therefore I Am. You may want to listen to that, because some of the things that we shared in there were shared all week at camp meeting. So I don't think I was ahead of schedule, but now's the time to listen to it again. Look at Mark 11. I'm going to read verse 12 to 24, King James Version. Familiar Bible account. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, talking about Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if he happily might find something, anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. No, the time of the figs was not yet, but there should have been something on the tree to eat. And Jesus answered and said unto it, the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Need to stop right there for a quick HDR, something that I heard during camp meeting. Okay, Jesus comes to a fig tree. It doesn't have anything on it. It gave all the signs of having food, and when you got there, there was nothing on it. Why didn't he just walk away? Why did he have to curse it? Why was it necessary to curse it? From the root, just curse it. Because if he doesn't curse it, he's going to go back to it again somewhere. It'll show up somewhere else. The reason we don't curse things that should be cursed is because we really want to hang out with them. When you curse it, it's gone, never to be seen again. If you don't curse it, it's going to show up somewhere else. With the same mantra, I have leaves, you can feast on me, I have leaves, you come there, fooled again. Curse it. If it's not producing what it's supposed to be produced, curse it. And guess how many times you have to deal with it after that? None. Has anybody honestly ever been tripped up by the same thing? Just say amen, I won't look. Okay. Yeah, I'd say amen to that also. Why? We knew it was wrong the first time. We didn't curse it. We let it keep life. And it had us in its memory banks. And we had it. So we saw it again. We're like, I remember that. Maybe I can get something else, did something this time. And you keep being pulled off track. Everyone say, curse it. And then they went into Jerusalem. But when they came out of Jerusalem, and they were walking by that tree in verse 19, when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, calling to remember it, saying to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. He would have said, what did you think would happen? Well, I would have said that, but Jesus didn't say that. Jesus answering said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou what? And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Short version. Jesus was saying, guys, you got to change the way you think. You have to change the way you think. You have to get it into your heads that you will have what you say if you believe what you say. The reason we're not having what we say is we don't believe it. We believe we should say it. Because God forbid you go around a Christian and don't confess. I don't want to hear that. So I'll say, I believe I'm healed. And I get by myself. And why is this thing still here? What you say with your mouth and believe. That's why. What question is I asked? How's everybody? And I say, how do you know? And see, just because the word says you're blessed doesn't mean you're going to be blessed. You have to believe that you're blessed. If you don't believe it, you can say it from now till the cows come home, whenever that time is. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, whosoever shall say, you can't see something wrong and keep your mouth shut. Especially when you have the words that will produce life. You can't see something that's not right. And not say anything. You have to say what the word says about it. You don't just leave it alone, thinking it's going to go away. No, it's going to sense that you're afraid of it, and it's going to start following you too. You too, not YouTube. You too. That whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. I already told you about that. When that thought unchecked bores its way down to your heart and plants a seed. You don't want the seed planted. Talk to a gentleman, a pastor, I believe it was Pastor James. And he was telling us about this course that he knew someone that was taking a course about seeds and all of that. And he said, here's what you people don't understand about a seed. A seed is designed to withstand much more adversity than a finished plant. So once you let that seed get planted, it may take you a long time to get rid of it. Because that seed is designed to survive. And it will outlast the plant that it produced. So we need to understand we cannot allow the wrong kind of seed into our body. And when you have these improper thoughts, and we know when a thought is right and when it's not. Then I don't believe there are any covert thoughts. I know what I'm thinking. I know why I'm thinking it, and I know if I should be thinking it or I should not. And if I keep the should nots in there, they're going to bore their way down and drop a seed in my heart. And I've done nothing about it. Anybody other than me watch nature programs? What fascinates me is this wasp goes after the spider and stings it but doesn't kill it, immobilizes it, paralyzes it, then lays an egg on it. And that egg hatches, and that hatchling feeds on that live spider. That spider gets eaten alive. I'm like, that's insidious. But that's what the enemy does. He plants that seed. We allow a seed to be planted. Life starts to form and starts to consume us, and we're not even aware of it. And one of the reasons we're not aware of it is we try and justify our actions. So we're protecting that seed that's in our heart, and we don't even realize it. And the next thing you know, different stuff starts coming out of your mouth. And then circumstances start changing. What's the matter with them? You. Me. But we didn't know it because we weren't aware that it was happening. It could have been a thought that I had 2 years ago that I didn't do anything with. It doesn't just go away. The devil takes advantage of the scriptures, the principles of the scriptures, and we need to understand that. He understands out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he needs to get as much as him into our hearts as he can, so we'll speak it. The same verse in the Passion Translation, Luke 6:45, says, "For the overflow of what has been stored in your heart will be seen in your fruit and heard in your words." That means no matter how secret you think you're keeping it, what's in your heart is going to come out in your behavior. It's going to come out in your speech. We need to understand that. And it will manifest in everything we do. Mark 11:23, it says, "But thou shalt believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass." Where does the belief come from? What makes you believe? You ever think about that? What makes you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? You've thought about it. And you've come to a conclusion based on what you were thinking. Believe that those things that you say it shall come to pass. If you don't believe that, you won't have a thing you say. But shall believe. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, verse 24, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Your thoughts are going to determine what you believe. And one of the reasons you stop praying is that you don't think your prayer is effective. You don't think your prayer alone is enough. You don't think you've had on your good Christian shoes today. Whatever the reason, you have little faith in your own prayers. So yeah, you'll say the words because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to pray. If you don't believe it, you're better off keeping your mouth shut. And putting your eyes in front of the word and keep reading it until you can believe it. Because if you don't believe it, nothing will change. See, when you're thinking that your prayer is not enough, technically, you're right. How can you say that? Because your prayers, in order to be effective, need your belief. If you don't believe them, just your prayer alone is not enough. It has to be mixed with faith so you can believe it. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The wink whippy prayer of someone who's not sure who they are doesn't avail anything. We're not weak, wimpy prayers. We have to get to the point where we change the way we think. This is what happened. God showed me this earlier this morning. Your thoughts can cause temporary blindness. What you're thinking can prevent you from seeing what the word says. What you're thinking about it. Because you're going, I know my knees are healed. I also know how they feel at this moment. If I can keep thinking about that, I'm no longer going to see them being healed. I'm going to see myself having knee replacement surgery. I'm going to see myself hobbling around in PT for 6,853 months. How many of that's a little exaggerated? But no matter what, and by the way, just so you know, the reason I'm still hobbling like this, I haven't reached the goal that God told me years ago. He told me when I first went to him about my knees, lose 20 pounds. I went to the orthopedist. The orthopedist said to me, lose 20 pounds. And guess what I did? I gained 20 pounds. Went back to the orthopedist and he said, this isn't what you weighed the last time you were here. So I lost 20 pounds. And I'm like, God, you said 20? Here you go, bud. 20 pounds. He said, Gregory, what did you weigh when you first asked me? I said, 260 pounds. And what did I tell you? Lose 20 pounds. What's 260 minus 20?
200 pounds.
240 pounds. And he didn't say, he stopped talking. So I can go, I mean, Dr. Gee laid hands on me. Well, people want to come, they want to pray for me. And I said, there is no prayer that's going to take away God's instructions. He's not going to send me to one of his healing technicians and they're going to lay hands on me and then I don't have to do what he told me. No, I have to lose 20 pounds. My weight has to be at least, or at the most, this is the better way to say it, not at least, at the most 240 pounds. Now, will there be another step after that? I don't know. All I know is he said, lose 20 pounds. And so I have to get to that place. So it's important to understand that we have to make our thoughts line up with God's word. Because if I keep thinking, I've been confessing about these knees for so long that maybe I'm just supposed to deal with it. Your grace is sufficient for me. And while that's a true statement, it's being misapplied. Why am I telling you that? Because my failure to think on what God has said is preventing me from seeing that which I've been praying for, the manifestation of my healing. My thoughts. Why? I got to have Jamocha almond fudge. Really smear that on your knees and see what that'll do. People have said to me, these feelings are so strong. I'm like, yeah, but they're not stronger than you are. They're just the power of the enemy. And Jesus said he gave us power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses, and nothing can by any means harm us. In Luke 10:19, that's what he said in the Amplified Bible. But he said something equally as powerful in 2 Corinthians 10. Would you turn there, please? I'm going to share it in three different translations because they were so good. I said, Lord, can I share all of them? And he said I could, so I am. 2 Corinthians 10, King James Version. Casting down imaginations and every high thing, that should be underlined in your Bible, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought should be underlined to the obedience of Christ. Every thought you have, no matter how powerful it says it is, you can make it obey Christ. The Good News Translation says, we pull down every proud obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God. God said it. No, you are not hovering over me. You're not dropping any seeds on my heart. And we take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. Make it. When I was young and didn't want to go to bed, mommy made me go to bed. She made it simple. I can either lay on the sheets comfortably or learn how to meditate and levitate. But the voice translation takes it to a different level. We are demolishing arguments and ideas, every high and mighty philosophy that pits itself against the knowledge of the one true God. Listen to this. We are taking prisoners of every thought, every emotion. Every emotion that every high and mighty philosophy that pits itself against the knowledge of God, of the one true God, we're taking prisoner of every thought and every emotion and subduing them into obedience to the anointed one. Thought, you're not going to have any other communication until it can say Jesus is Lord. And it starts to come out, no, I'm not thinking that. No, that emotion is not rising up in me. No. I'm not going to stand in front of you and act like you can do it all the time. In the last 24 hours, I didn't say that. Sometimes you allow yourself to get to the point, you say, emotions, rise. No. 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 But the thoughts are going to come. The only weapon you have is the only one you need against thoughts. The Word of God. The thought says one thing, God's Word overpowers it and brings it down. Just brings it down. And keeps it down. It doesn't say uncle, it says Jesus. It says uncle, make it say Uncle Jesus. But listen to, we know this account in Numbers 13, but I'm going to share it in an Amplified Bible. I'm going to use it to kind of sum up. And the Lord said to Moses, send men. First of all, God told Moses, go and see what I've given you. He told Moses, go and see the land that I have given you. That's what he told him. I'm giving you this land. So if it came from God, it has to be good. Because God is good. Send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader or head among them. And it gives you the names of the men. The only one that's important right now in verse 16, one of them was Joshua. Verse 17, Moses sent them to scout out the land of Canaan and said to them, get up this way by the south and go up unto the hill country and see what the land is, whether the people who dwell there are strong and weak, few or many. Who cares? Why are you thinking that? God didn't say check out the people. He said see the land that I'm giving you. I don't care what's on the land. I don't care. Do you care? God said, I'm giving this to you. He said he was giving us this building. He didn't care that RKO bought it. He didn't care. And neither did his servant, Sarah. She didn't care either. She said, okay, how do we make this thing obey Christ? Drive up to it, speak around it, and tell it, you'll only function as a new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center, and then go home. And that's all she did. And the building had to come in line with that. That caused other people to see different things. One town member said, something woke me up in the middle of the night and said, vote, but do not vote for the movie theater. So God didn't tell Moses to check out the people and see if they're strong, and he put that part in. He just said, go see what I gave you. And see, but because he told that to the people started taking notice of the inhabitants of the land. The giants up there. They consume everything that's in the land. And how did you make it back? So it can't be everything. If you got out, then they don't kill everything that's in the land. But what if they did? Remember that song from school, this land is your land, this land is my land? No, this land is my land, it ain't yours. So you're going to have to go somewhere else. And they came back with a scathing report. Yep, we saw the land. Yep, yeah, it is flowing with milk and honey. When we get there, there'll be some blood mixed in with the milk, but it's flowing. And look at the size of the fruit. But we saw the children of Anak there. They be strong. They be tall. Joshua's listening to this. And I can imagine his son. He's like, what? Moses, let's go up there and take it right now. And the other people, no, we can't. They're stronger than we are. But God said, I'm giving you this land. Well, I guess he forgot about the people that are in there. No, he didn't. He was thinking about the people he was sending in there. And he had told them, if you study that out, previously he told them he was aware that the ites were in there. He said, I'll drive them out. But your thoughts make you forget what he said. And you think you have to deal with them. He already said, I'll deal with them. And the people went from a state of being joyous to moaning and complaining and wishing they were back in captivity. It made for us to stay in Egypt. Oh, you think so? And God said, not going to have those type of people in my land. So now what you're thinking is going to cause you to wander for 40 years until you're all gone. But not you, Joshua. Because he's the only one that believes what God said. Doesn't matter if you're the only one. You believe what God said. Things will happen because you believe. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It does not matter. There was a footnote to that that I found interesting. It says in Numbers 13:28, the scouts probably had not seen walled cities before, having lived their childhood in Goshen in Egypt. I'm saying, okay, I could give them that. They'd never seen them before. But God knew that. And he said, I'm giving you the land anyway. So that must not matter. Because just like See, when I was an athlete, I never inquired about the other team's record. They said, but Foots, they're undefeated. I'm like, but they haven't played us yet. And I tell you something, if they had played us and won, it wouldn't have changed my thoughts. You got over that time, but it ain't happening again. Now I know what you like to do, and you ain't going to be able to do it. So no matter whether you know or don't know, your thoughts need to be the same. This is what God said. Period. Those who forgot God's power, having lived through their childhood, Goshen and Egypt, those who forgot God's power to help them naturally found the situation formidable, as happens in the lives of most people. But God makes all the difference between cowards and Calebs. Now, I'm not calling you a coward if you're afraid. Neither is the Amplified Bible. It's just using an analogy. The difference between being a coward and being afraid is what you think about God's word. The entire nation of Israel trembled. I was surprised they were able to bow. They were trembling so much when Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, when I play my music, you're going to worship my idol, or I'm going to throw you in the furnace. They're like, the furnace? He ain't playing. Start the music. Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar. I seen that furnace. You're not putting me in that furnace. No. I'm dark enough already, and I'm not going in that furnace. No, their attitude was, put me in the furnace. My God will deliver me. Because the enemy said, who is the God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? Glad you asked that question. I am so glad, Nebi. I'm not bowing down to your idol, your musicians, or you. Because the God I serve will deliver me from you. I like the Message Bible. The God I serve will deliver me out of my hands or your hands and anything else you may cook up, O King. But even if he won't, let it be known this day, I will not bow down to your idols. I will not. How could they say that when they're watching the high priests bowing down? They're watching the adults bowing down. Probably even any animals are like, yeah, we don't want to get burned either. And these three teenagers said, God said, you don't bow down. We're not bowing down. But that was their history, folks. That was their lifestyle. That's the way they'd always been thinking. Here, eat the king's food. We're not eating that. Test us. Let us eat what we need, what we're supposed to eat, and see if we don't look better at the end of 10 days. At the end of 10 days, nobody was healthier than they were. And in all matters, they were found to be 10 times smarter. 10 times smarter. So really, when we give into the world, we're dumbing down. We're dumbing down. We should have all of the answers. But we're too busy thinking about what the world says and what the world does. And we're not remembering who God said we are and what God said we have. It's a Holy Ghost meeting. I don't know why I keep looking at the notes. He's not taking me down them anyway. One of the things that amazes me about thoughts, you're the guard. You're one of the two guards, and each of you have a Bendigo, you know, one on his left arm, one on his right arm, and you're taking him to throw him into the fire. He goes into the furnace. You're immediately incinerated. Now, this is what I think about. You're the second set of guards. You have seen your two buddies, poof, and you are next. And you are so fearful of this king that you commit suicide. When all he could do was kill you. What's he going to do, throw you in the furnace? At least you were incinerated before you got in there. But they went through it. They went through with it. The third set, same thing. Me, after the first one, I said, I'll take my chances. I know what I got here. But they went into the fiery furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. They went in. Meshach didn't crack, saying, oh God, I didn't know we were actually going to have to go in there and change the way he thought. No, his thoughts never changed. The God I serve will deliver me. You guys, you don't have to be incinerated. Stay right here. I'll jump in. And they went in. And the same king who threw, and they stayed in the fire. The king looks at it. 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Didn't we throw 3? But I see 4. And one of them looks like the Son of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Wait a minute, we got another step we got to get in first. They came out, and nothing on them was burned. The smell of smoke wasn't even on them. The guards were smoldering. There was nothing, no smell of smoke on them. And Nebuchadnezzar says, the God you serve is the one true God. Anybody that says anything against their God, you going in the furnace. There is no other God that can protect like that. See, that's what the three boys were thinking. Nobody else in their nation was thinking that. But they were. I don't care if 3/4 of the world thinks one way. What has God said to me? What has God said about it? That's what I care about. That's why if it offends anyone, you'll just have to do it. All lives matter. Period. Under every situation, under every single circumstance known to man, all lives matter. For God so loved the world. Yes. And we're going to proclaim it. All lives matter. That's the way we need to. If we start thinking other stuff, we won't land on that. We'll start speaking as if God is selfish and only cares for certain races of people. Why is he showing himself to Muslims in their mosques? He doesn't want them wiped out. He wants them saved. Folks, I'm going to end. I've kept you long enough. But we need to understand Proverbs 18:21. King James Version. Keep it nice and simple. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. But what gives power to the tongue? The thoughts that you think. So you can, not changing the scripture, but you can say death and life are dependent on what I'm thinking. You're in the hospital and you get a report that's not, doesn't sound favorable. What are you thinking? Oh God, why is this happening to me? I'm your child. I've done everything. I tried to do everything. Well, most of the stuff you do, I think about what you want me to do a lot. You need to think about it. What did God say? Himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes I was healed. Reverend, you have multiple blood clots in your lungs. Okay. Yeah. Did you not understand what I said? And okay, the way I am is the way I am. I'm like, well, let's see. Blood clot was in my leg, broke into pieces. Those pieces traveled through my body and lodged in my lungs. Yeah, I got it. And you're not concerned about that? Not really. And we'll get this. Can I ask why? Sure. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But be not dismayed. I have overcome the world. I have taken away its power to harm you. I said, so doc, you could say, in this world, you may get blood clots. Don't spaz out about it. Jesus has already overcome them and has taken away their power to harm me. He said, wow. And when they took me up to the room, because I said, what's the plan? And they put me in a room. I said, may I see the CAT scan? And they tried to talk me out of it. I said, what am I going to do, pass out from a CAT? When they scoped my knee, I watched it on the monitor. When I had all the annual physicals, colonoscopies, I watched it on the monitor. They want to put you to sleep. Why? You said it's painless. I want to see what you're looking for. I said, I can handle a CAT scan. I said, now where are the clots? And they said, see, they're right here. But this is what's interesting, Reverend. Normally they get to this point and they go into, what is it called, the aortic cavity, or whatever the term is, and they can cause major damage. But for some reason, when your blood clots got to this position, they went to the left and right and formed in areas of your lungs that were less critical. I said, that was Jesus taking away their power to harm me. Why? I didn't know they were there. Now, I could have been stupid. And I tell them, they're there. I'm not receiving that. No, God, what do you want me to do about what they just said? What do you want me to do about it? You told me, go get this checked out. I got it checked out, and this is what they say they see. Obviously, you knew that or you wouldn't have sent me here. What am I supposed to do about it? And I did what he told me. And I'm here. So what you think, I could have thought different. There was an opportunity there to think something different. Because bad things have happened to people with one clot, not multiple clots in both lungs. Not because I'm so special. I made a choice. I'm going to go with what the word says. Period. As I read in Jeremiah, God said, he's sticking with me. He said, he's making me as solid as a concrete block wall. I have to trust that. I have to trust that. When things come up, I have to remember what he said, and I have to think on what he said. So I'm going to close this question. What are you thinking? And why are you thinking it? If it doesn't line up with God's word, change the way you think. Paul told the church, not certain members of the church. His message was to the church at Rome. Change the way you think. Before that, he said, stop imitating the world around you. Change the way you think. The Passion Translation says you need a total reformation of the way you think. Total. So stop giving in to any new whim or movement or suggestion or anything that comes that goes against what God said. You have the power to shut that thing down. It's trying to plant a seed in your heart so it will grow and take over your heart. And next thing you know, you'll be on a picket line somewhere. That's right, honey. You'll be bitter, wanting to wipe out cultures and just stuff. Thinking that you're right. Why? Because it's coming from your heart. Folks, anything, I'll say this and I'm really going to stop. Really, like Shrek said, really, really? We have to get to the place where no means no. When a thought has come to me and I know it's wrong, no, I'm not thinking that thought. No, I'm not hating those people. No, I'm not. Why is it, folks? Is it still under the really, really? Why is it that we will not sit down and have lunch with folks we know to be homosexual, but we will if we know that they're liars? What's the difference? What's the difference? Why will we plead for someone who has committed murder and condemn someone who had an abortion? Why are we doing that? For God so loved the world, and we be his representatives. I know it's we are, but we be sounds better. Our job is to let people know that even though they sinned, there is a way back and God still loves them. And God's love is not dependent on whether or not they come back. It'd be better for them to come back, but God's going to love them if they never come back. In fact, he already knows. How many of you absolutely know what somebody's going to do? That was my next question. How many of you know what you're going to do next? But God knows. And he loves us anyway. God knew I was going to get upset. I was going to fly off the handle every now and then. And he still said, Pastor. And my question to God is, what do you see in me that I don't see? Because I'm real, folks. I know how I am. Pastor? Pastor Greg? No, I knew it wouldn't be Pastor Foots. It couldn't even be Member Foots. That was the first thing that had to go. And what a relief. Before I became in Christ, now you made me put another really there. Before I came to Christ, I was waiting to exhale. Do you know how hard it is to keep up a lifestyle that's not you? Do you know how hard it is to do things by intimidation? Always being the brick house, no matter what comes. Don't even get a chance to go like this. So, what'd you say? You're going to do what? To who? Someone threatened my sons once. Sent them a letter. Some of the worst English I've ever seen. But their message was clear of what their intention, what they intended to do to the car boys. Well, the way I thought was, I'm the head car boy. So this letter is to me. But we're not teenagers. We adults. I'm not going to tell you how we handled it. We didn't kill anybody. By the time it's done, they would have said, why don't you just kill me, okay? You know how hard it is to live that kind of life? We talk to people who are in that life, and we talk to them as if they want to stay there. They think they have to. I didn't know that I could decide how I was going to feel about anything. I didn't know. Nobody told me that. What they told me was, this is the way you feel. I didn't know I had a choice. Somebody can hit you in the head with a baseball bat and you don't have to get mad about it. Really? I never knew that. Well, neither do the people out there sinning now. They think that's the way they have to make it. They don't know anything else, but we do. And we have to change the way we think about them so they get to experience the truth that's in us and come over to our side. Total reformation of how we think. It starts with receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. That was my start. I had no intention of receiving Jesus, didn't want to receive Jesus. I wanted to receive some food from the faith food store. I thought it was burgers, ribs. There's a black church with these, some of these people in there. They look like they could cook. I want some food. So I want to go to the bookstore. Give me the faith food store. Yeah. I literally got this big eating faith food. It's my spirit you see bulging out. I'm just kidding, Lord. I'm just kidding. But I had to make a choice to receive Christ as Savior. Him being the King of Kings, that already is. Him being my Lord, him being Savior of the world, it already is. Making him Lord of my life is my choice. Recognizing him as my Savior is my choice. He's Savior whether I choose him or not. But if I want to live eternity with God, I better choose him. But he's not going to grab me by the shirt and say, you better choose me, boy. No, he stands there. All the bad stuff and nonsense going on around him, he's still. And the only other position he knows is this, after you've come in. That's the Jesus that I want you to know. That's the Jesus that you need to know. And how do you get them? Well, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that simple. You want to be saved? And just say, Father God, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he was buried and went to hell instead of me. And I also believe that after spending 3 days in hell, God, you raised him from the dead, seated him at your right hand, and he's coming again soon. Jesus, I believe that. I believe you are who the scriptures say you are. And I want you in my life. So I'm asking you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you to make something new of me. Well, if you made that confession according to the word of God, you just got born again. So if you're here and you just said, I need you to raise your hand because I want to get some free information to you. If you're online, use the contact information and contact us. Say, I prayed that prayer. I'm born again. What's next? And we'll gladly respond and tell you the things that you want to do next. We'll tell you. I don't want to tell you now because I want you to just take in your moment. Is there anyone here in this room? Amen. Amen. Thank you, those online. Thank you for staying with me while you just let me go the way the Holy Ghost wanted to go. Not the way I had it all planned out in my notes. But even though I have notes, my goal is always to say what the Lord wants me to say to all of you. So God bless you online, and we'll see you next time.